In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Today's famous gospel passage and sermon text comes from the 15th chapter of John. And it's part of a larger passage, often referred to as a farewell discourse of our Lord. Because it was his words that the day before he died in the upper room of his disciples, preparing them for his death. In a way, you can say that these are amongst our Lord's last words. And we see them all put great weight on last words, have we not? And sometimes last words have more weight when we look back upon them in hindsight, at 2020 at the time. Sometimes at the moment this is said, we miss some of the significance. My grandmother always said to me, "When I'm gone, you remember my words." And what she meant by that, I remember her words decades later, more and more, how precious to look back and hear them through decades of experience. And so we might say, well, these words of our Lord, this last word, let us see them in Lent, not in 50 days of Easter. That's the whole point. That's how beautiful they are to Jesus' last words on this side of the death, this side of the resurrection. So we come to them today, and they are words of love. They're words of our Lord's command to love. Jesus didn't command very much, really. It is commanded to love. These are some of the most famous words of the Bible. And for some inexplicable reason, Christ just loves humanity. We humanity, just look at the news, who can't help but slip into war and conflict and just one ill humanity after another. And yet our Lord loves us so much that there's no other comparison to the love of the heart of God himself. Yeah. Because as the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And he commands us to love. And brothers and sisters, I think just the passage today, think of the music in 20th century that they composed inspired this love. Think of the poems and the liturgy and the sermons, the architecture, just a cathedral built and inspired by this passage. But if one thing is inspired and like our beautiful music and poetry and liturgy and cathedrals, it's another thing to try to have to live the world. I think of Olwen Ashton. Have I told you about Olwen Ashton? Olwen Ashton is my 30-year-old birthday teacher. And he would come when he takes the spelling test. You would spell the word perfectly with the most beautiful perfect writing you would have talked about back then. And you still mark it all. Because old way, as you said, you can spell a word, you can say a word, you can articulate a word, you can color a word. But if you can't use it in a sentence, you don't know the word. And we have to do the spell and then write a sentence. If you got the things wrong, the whole thing was wrong. How tough. Well, you know why our Lord is tough. He said in beautiful words, in beautiful commandments of love, but in trouble, we have to try to practice it. And that's the hard thing. And we have beautiful examples to inspire us to try to use love in the sentence of our lives. We have our Lord's example of the cross. He loved so much that he gave the very people torturing and killing him. We have the beautiful stories of the saints. Years ago, I remember a young man. At the end of apartheid in South Africa, I read about the story that was captivating me about a murder trial on Officer Vandenbroek, and I think they grabbed him first as a grass and shot, which is wrong. But the story is just incredible. He was on trial because during the darkest days of apartheid, he companions had gone to ghetto, and they had shot at point blank range with John Stump. A young boy, probably boys in protest or what have you. And then they take his body and burn it, or they part and level in the distance. 2 months later, they returned and took the boy's arm, and they poured gasoline on him. And the mother watched. The last word he said was forgive them, for he was burned alive. And so part of that ended, he was on trial, Officer Vandenbroek. And there in Portland was the 70-year-old mother of the son and the widow of the father. Now this been convicted for murder. A representative from South African Peace and Reconciliation Commission turned to the 7-year-old widow and said, "What did you want? How could justice be done to this man?" She said, "I want three things. I want to be taken to the place where my husband was brought. I want to gather the dust. And I want to give my husband, my son, the burial they never had, a burial of sicknesses and respect. And secondly, I want Officer Brandon Brooks to know that I forgive him. Forgive was the command of my Lord, and it's the last word, my last and last wish of my husband. And third, I want Officer Brandon Brooks to come to my home in the ghetto twice a month so that he can be my spouse. So I can give him whatever love is left in me to give, because I have no sense of love. And I want someone to walk with me and put me to the other end of this courtroom so I can take Officer Vandenberg in my arms." And as he did, it is said that he fainted for being overwhelmed with emotion. I tell the story, yes, because of his drama and inspiration, but maybe I tell the story in confession. Because I've been a Christian all of my life. I'm a priest, I'm your pastor, and I don't believe that I could do that. I'm not that place. You never know what we'll do and put to the test, but I think I like Facebook even many years. I could not do it. But then I come to the point of the sermon. This passage today is a sequel to the passage last week. It comes out of the image of the vine and the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. The banner of you is love. You gather nutrients from the vine. So this is studying vines and branches and vineyards. Did you know that it takes decades and decades for vineyards to be created? While it's flowing, being nourished through those food, through those things, they just have to be careful. But once they start producing, I did not realize, a vine can produce fruit for 100 years over a season. And that is the growth of what it is to be a Christian. That we come and we take the few decades we have, not many in this life, and we take it and we are careful not to be apathetic. We take our religion seriously, the requirements. And we do what we can to learn scripture, to say our prayers, to be part of the community, to stay close to the sacraments, to be part of Christ, to imitate Jesus. And lo and behold, we grow, even if we don't know it or see it, or see any fruit from it. And then who knows what we might be capable of as far as being conduits of the love of God as we practice this Christian faith, not only as individuals, but as a parish family, as a universal church, and a hurting world that needs us so. Who knows what we might be capable of? I think that in closing, the most perfect closing words in the gospel story is the words of St. Paul in the third chapter of Philippians, when his brothers and sisters, "I don't claim to have whole class, I don't claim to have hell hold us in, but there's one thing I do, forgetting my life behind, looking forward to life ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the call of God." That's you and that's me. I don't know where you would be. Well, let's hold hands and assume the trust in our faith and imitate Jesus the best we can. Who knows what? Who knows what fruit we might bear? I hope we will never call to do what that 7-year-old woman had to do. But who knows how God might use us so beautifully in this short lifespan that we have. Amen.